Chapter 27. Reward. Ethris opened the door and led Jen up the steps. Jen felt the air cool as they ascended to the main floor. As they walked out into the brisk evening in the courtyard, he noticed that the trees had cast off most of their foliage.
"How long have I been asleep?" Jen asked.
"Almost 3 weeks. I wakened only a couple of days before you did."
"The demon struck you, then?"
"Yes. I've quite the scar to show for it. Of course, a scar is nothing new to you, is it? There is much more I need to inquire of you, but our meetings must be few and in secret."
The sound of a celebration on the castle grounds came from the courtyard in front of the great hall, but Ethris led him down a different path, a long way through gardens and guard stations that kept them from the crowds. The few soldiers they did see saluted them smartly, and after they passed, the soldiers whispered excitedly to one another.
"We seem to be inspiring a lot of chatter," Jen observed.
He was surprised by Ethris's hearty laugh.
"Ah, Jen, you simply have no idea."
Jen shrugged off the odd comment as they entered the castle through a side gate and crossed the lawn to the kitchens. A lantern hung over a stone bench next to the door, and Ethris signalled for him to sit on it. After entering the kitchen for a few moments, he returned with a plate full of food, bread, venison and sliced apple, and a mug of cider.
"Enjoy the meal, Jen. Captain Tolbrook has taken over your duties in your absence. If you want to relieve him when you are finished, you can, though I'm sure no one would blame you if you simply wanted to enjoy the evening. I will be along later. There are some new preparations I must make, and I will talk with you again by and by."
Jen dove into the food before Ethris could even turn to leave, each bite tasting better than he could imagine. Before long, the plate was empty and the mug drained, and he set his plate aside and relaxed for a few moments to gather his thoughts and enjoy the pleasant feeling of being full. Realizing he would see Fenner, he went to his rooms beneath the Shalane's tower to retrieve something he had been meaning to give her for some time. Some of the servants and guards saw him as he passed, and as before, his presence inspired a great deal of chatter and excited whispering. As he returned to the lawns outside the kitchen, several children raced out of the open door and chased each other around the yard. By their fine dress, crumpled, untucked, and untied though it was, Jen could tell they were noble-born, no doubt escaping tedious formalities in search of some fun. They took no notice of him for a moment as he stood and watched them, but soon a girl, whom Jen reckoned no older than 8, stopped and pointed.
"Look," she whispered surreptitiously, "it is one of the Dark Guard."
"Leave him alone, Jelena," one of the older boys said. "He's probably on important business."
"No, he's not," Jelena returned petulantly. "He's just standing round."
She skipped over and stood staring at Jen, hands on hips and face set. This dark-haired, dark-eyed girl would be a proud and beautiful lady someday. She was certainly fearless. Jen stared back at her, amused at her bravado. Suddenly her eyes and mouth went wide and she gasped.
"Ian, it's that one we heard about in church, the scarred one with a dead face."
Before he knew it, Jen found himself surrounded by 7 gawking children.
"What's your name?" Jen asked the girl, feeling a bit uncomfortable with a gaggle of children staring at him as if he were a statue.
"I am Miss Jelena Magravaine,"
she replied with a perfectly executed curtsy,
"daughter of Regent Julim and Lady Mergem Magravaine."
"My name is Jen."
"I know,"
she said.
"Is your face really dead?"
"No," Jen said. "Watch."
He made several silly faces, ending in a scary one that made the kids cower in surprise, all save Jelena.
"Then why do people say your face is dead?"
she pressed.
"Well, Jelena, does your mummy—"
"Her name is Lady Mergem Magravaine."
"Forgive me. Does the Lady Mergem Magravaine let you giggle in church?"
"No."
"Well, I'm not permitted to make faces when I'm about the Shalane's secret business."
Jen gave them a furtive wink, and they all nodded in understanding.
"Is she pretty?"
a boy with grass-stained pants asked, feeling a little more brave.
"I suppose so," Jen replied, "though no man is allowed to see her, so I don't know for sure. I'm not really supposed to talk about it, but I'll tell you a little secret."
Jen leaned down and motioned the children in close.
I hear she has a big nose, he whispered.
Uh-uh, Jelena protested. The other children giggled. You were just joking, weren't you?
Yes, Jelena, Jen chuckled. But I wonder if you might do me a favour.
What?
I have to go on duty soon, which is a secret. But I want to see someone first. Do you know Miss Fenner Fairdale?
Yes,
Jelena replied. Could you tell her that one of the Dark Guard needs to see her, and then bring her to me? Don't tell her my name, though. It's a secret surprise.
Okay,
she agreed, bounding off into the kitchen. Jen shooed the other children off and entered the kitchen to return the plate and mug he had left on the bench. The first cook to see him was Marna, who had greeted him so enthusiastically his first day at the castle. She dropped a wooden bowl she was carrying and stared at him with much the same look Jelena had given him. Then she charged, arms outstretched. Jen, hands full, couldn't defend himself from another powdery hug. When she pulled away, she was smiling, tears running down her face.
Elder Luth be praised, Jen, she said, wiping her eyes. We thought you lost there for a bit. We prayed for you, the forehead to the ground kind of praying, that you be spared. Does my heart good to see you, but look, I've done it again.
Thank you, Marna, Jen said, smiling as she swatted at the flower on his uniform, adding as much as she subtracted. And it is good to see you. The food was more delicious than anything I can remember.
Do you want some more? I'll give you the best right off the spit. Or will you be going in? What a celebration that will be.
I will go in shortly. Where do you want these? Jen held up his plate and mug.
I'll take those, she said, snatching them from his hand. I'll take them home and put them on my mantle. The plate, mug and fork used by Jen during his first meal after the demon attack. I'll be famous.
She turned to find somewhere to put them, and the others in the kitchen started haggling with her for the individual pieces. Jen left as her fellow cooks tossed offers of money for the items. Exhaling nervously, he alternately sat on the bench and paced around the grass, finding it difficult to settle himself. And she came, Jelena dragging her by the hand. Jen realized he hadn't paid attention to how beautiful she was, and now, in the light of the lantern, dressed in a blue gown, brown hair pulled away from her face, she was as precious a jewel as Jen had ever seen. Green eyes led the change in her expression from sadness to joy, and she was in his arms laughing and crying so quickly that Jen could scarce take it in. After several long moments, she pulled away, wiping her eyes and straightening her gown.
I'm sorry, she apologized. This is most unseemly.
Jen took her hand and kissed it, motioning for her to sit with him. Fenner put her hands in her lap and looked at them, and Jen, sensing her nervousness, spoke first.
Fenner,
Jen began, fumbling for what to say. I was told that you watched over me as I fought the poison for so many days. I want you to know that I'm in your debt, and that your devotion will not be forgotten. She smiled and turned away, embarrassed.
It was nothing.
It certainly was something. Please accept my gratitude. She nodded, and silence reigned for several moments, save for the children playing and the banging of pots and pans. Fenner finally spoke up.
Jen, the Shalane told me about Regina. I'm so sorry. It wasn't your fault. You did everything to save her.
It was Jen's turn to look away. Memories of Regina's death and his inability to save her ran across his mind afresh, threatening the newfound happiness he had felt since awakening. But Fenner was there, putting her arm around him and leaning her head on his shoulder. Her warmth drove away the dark thoughts, and he sat enjoying her company for many minutes.
Fenner, he said, rising, as much as I would love to have you to myself all evening, I think it is time I returned and resumed my duty after such a long absence. Did the betrothal go well?
Compared to the last one, I'd say yes,
Fenner grinned. But you should go. There are many who are anxious for your return. Shall I have the Chamberlain give you a grand entrance?
No, Jen objected. I don't like attention. I'll just slip in quietly and relieve Captain Tolbrook.
Have it your way, she acquiesced, but I thought bards liked the attention.
She saw a lot of my life then?
Not that she would tell, Fenner answered, but I think we'd both like to hear you sing again.
Jen felt a tap on his arm.
You can sing?
Jelena asked,
appearing from behind a nearby bush where she had been spying on the couple.
"I used to sing," he answered, "but it's been a long time. Not much time for it now that I have my secret duties and all."
"Well," Jelena said, sitting on the bench next to Fenna, "you've got time now, don't you? Sing me something since Mummy, the Lady Magravaine, probably won't sing to me tonight."
Jen hesitated. He hadn't had it in his heart to sing anything for so long that it felt like any attempt would be starting from the beginning.
"Yes, Jen," Fenna goaded, "sing us something. My mummy, I mean the Lady Fairdale, hardly sings to me at all anymore."
Fenna's eyes were playful, as Jen remembered Regina's to be.
"All right, then. Just one little song and then I have to go. I'm a bit rusty, though, so don't expect much more than caterwauling."
Jen crouched down and took Jelena by the hand.
"Old man winter, quiet and bitter, cradled a storm in frostbitten hands, and with a breath from his icy lips blew it forth on the land. With thick clouds and swirling snow it came, with biting wind and ice it blew, old man winter enshrouding in white all that the summer sun knew. But on some forgotten hilltop, struggling in a deepening drift, an untimely crimson rose broke forth, blooming winter's springtime gift. And old man winter, quiet with wonder, wept at the rose as the storm retreated, for even the iciest heart can thaw, when by beauty it is defeated."
Jelena and Fenna clapped, praising him warmly. Feeling embarrassed, Jen stood.
"I really should be going now, but..."
He reached into his coat pocket and retrieved Fenna's colours. "I'm excessively late in returning this to you. I hope this is a special enough occasion." Fenna looked on the verge of tears again as she took it from his hand.
"It is.
I thank you again. I look forward to talking with you soon."
"And I with you,"
Fenna returned.
"The Shalane is sitting at the table next to Shatan, as usual. Tolbrick is to the left of the dais, near the kitchen door. You should find him easily. I will come in before too long, but I wish to stay here for a while."
Jen bowed to her and went in search of Tolbrook, finding him watching from a shadowy recess where Fenna told him he would be. Owing to the loud celebration, he managed to relieve Tolbrook quietly and unnoticed, despite the captain's shock at seeing him. Jen settled in and took account of his surroundings. In comparison to the feast held when the Blessed One first arrived, the one celebrating the betrothal was sparsely attended. Only high-ranking nobles and aristocrats had been permitted entry. A cadre of religious men sat against the wall, Prelate Obelard among them, displaying disdain at the revelry around them. The pontiff was at one end of the head table, and across from him was an empty seat normally reserved for Aethras. The First Mother chatted with Regent Ogbeth and his wife, while the Shalane stared off into the crowd. Shatan busied himself with eating, carousing with the serving women, and bantering with warlords from his own kingdom. Also sitting near the Shalane was a half-elven woman, and Jen immediately recognised her, Maewyn Birchwood, daughter of Samian. So powerful were the desires and memories of the man who had shared so much of himself with him that Jen had to exert all his control to keep from running up to the woman and gushing 100 things Samian wanted to tell her. Jen wasn't sure how he would ever be able to do justice to what the man had felt for her, but knew he would have to try, sooner or later. With effort he turned his attention elsewhere, noticing the dark guard placed strategically around the room, though the apprentices were nowhere to be seen. Many other officers of the castle guard were present as well, and Regent Ogbeth permitted them to mingle and celebrate with the crowd. After several minutes, Fenna entered and squeezed his arm.
"They don't know you're here yet, do they?"
she whispered. Jen answered by putting his finger to his lips. Fenna's expression turned mischievous, and she mounted the dais.
"Don't you dare,"
he said to no avail, and watched as Fenna went and whispered in the ear of the First Mother. Mirelle squinted into the shadows and smiled at him, excusing herself from the table. Rather than come to him, Fenna and Mirelle headed out into the crowd, the Shalane watching them as they walked away. To his dismay, he saw them find the Chamberlain by the door. Mirelle threaded her way back to the table, Regent Ogbeth and her daughter questioning her as she sat. Fenna went to stand by an older man and woman whom Jen guessed were the Regent and Lady Fairdale. After the first mother sat down and the curiosity of the table was fully aroused, the herald slammed his staff onto the granite floor with three deafening taps, silencing the music and quieting the crowd.
Shalane, Har Ulrich, First Mother, gentlemen and gentlewomen, it is with the greatest pleasure that I direct your attention to the front of the room and present Jen, Protector of the Shalane, Dark Guard, Defender of the Faith, Demon's Bane, and newest Lord of the Realm. We thank Eldaloth for his recovery and exult in his return to service.
Reluctantly, Jen stepped from the shadows and raised his arm in salute. The thunderous applause nearly bowled him over. Raucous cheers and even singing broke out. Everyone stood, even a most unwilling Shatan, and clapped. Jen kept his face smooth, glancing about to find Fenna beaming. Jen resolved to ask her what had happened over the last few weeks. Only after he gave another wave to the crowd and sunk back into the shadows did the noise die down and the celebration continue. He noticed Shatan staring daggers at him, but the pontiff descending the dais blocked the view. Jen inclined his head as he approached.
"It is good to see that you have at last recovered, young man. You gave us a good scare."
"It is good to return, Holiness."
"Yes. As you can see, it has done much to lift the spirit of the people. For that, you are an invaluable ally to the purposes of Eldaloth in these troubled times. I shall speak with you again soon. Not many live to hear Mikik's voice and survive unscathed. I would know more of the demon and your struggle with its poison, that some provision might be prepared against them."
"As you wish."
"Bless you, my son."
Jen couldn't help wondering what it would do for the spirit of the people if they found out he was really the Ilk, should it prove to be true. He still couldn't accept it. He settled back to watch the Shalane, who was signalling for Fenna to come forward. Once she did, the First Mother, the Shalane, and Fenna came to him, cornering him in the recess. The Shalane bowed formally to him, but Morel embraced him warmly.
"It is good to see you well, Jen."
"Thank you, First Mother."
"So," Morel continued, "what do you think of your new titles?"
"Demon's Bane, I'm afraid, is a little much. Demon's Fodder would be more accurate.
Titles don't suit me well, and plain old Jen will be fine if you don't mind." "You weren't impressed with Lord of the Realm?" Morel pressed.
Jen thought for a moment. That particular title had escaped his notice among all the others.
"What in the realm exactly am I lord of?"
"Oh, not much," Morel said coyly. "Just a little elevation in rank. A tiny plot of land."
"A tiny plot?" Fenna exclaimed. "More like an entire—"
"Hush, Fenna. Jen's barely out of bed, and we don't wish to overwhelm him with insignificant matters. He can find out about what being Lord of Blackshire means later. But this we want you to know."
The First Mother's tone grew serious, and she pointed her finger at his chest.
"If you haven't been able to tell, you are dear to the three of us, and to many more besides, so don't go throwing your life away at every chance you get. Do you understand?"
"Yes, Your Grace."
"Very well. We shall talk more with you later. Fenna, be sure to bring your mother and father to meet him."
Fenna kissed him on the cheek, and the First Mother hugged him again before they turned to go.
"Shalane?" Jen said.
"Yes?"
"May I speak with you for a moment?"
"Certainly, Jen. In fact, if you could contrive some excuse to force me to leave, I would be in your debt."
"How much of my life did you see?"
The Shalane was silent, turning her head away for several moments before answering.
"Perhaps we should speak of this later, Jen,"
she said, voice unsteady.
"I didn't see much, but what I did see fills me with great sorrow, and right now I cannot falter."
Jen glanced over her shoulder, finding Shatan's eyes boring into him, and for the first time since he awakened, the reality of her betrothal hit him.
"I understand, Shalane. When you're ready, I also wanted to thank you for coming after me, so to speak. I know the risk was great, and I will ever be indebted to you. I will not forget what you have done."
"Jen,"
she replied, "I—"
"Your Holiness."
It was Dacen, breathless and distressed. Jen stepped behind the Shalane as she turned toward her former protector.
"Dacen,"
she said, concerned,
"what is troubling you?"
"If I could have a private word with you, Holiness. It will not take long. I believe the library is unoccupied."
I suppose, if it is short, I cannot be gone long,"
the Shalane agreed, voice unsure. They left together for the short walk to the library, Dacen apologizing profusely.
"Can you permit me a moment alone with her, Jen?"
Dacen begged.
"I give you my word of honour as a Tol Norian that I will let no harm come upon her."
"No," Jen replied firmly and flatly. "What you have to say, you will say with me by her, or not at all."
Dacen seemed torn for a moment, but he opened the library door and entered. No lamps were lit, and the moonlight provided the only illumination. The Shalane sat on Jen's couch as Dacen came and knelt in front of her, taking her by the hand, blue eyes pained. Jen stood just behind the couch.
"Your Holiness," he said, voice subdued, "I had to speak with you. Please, Jen, permit me to speak with her alone. If you would just move away a little space."
"No.
Please, you are my Tol Norian brother. You know—"
"Enough, Dacen," Jen interrupted. 3 weeks ago, a demon attacked the Shalane. If after that you have some hope that I will leave her side, even for a moment, then it is an extraordinary one. I give you my word that I will not repeat what I hear, but I will not move."
"Please go on," the Shalane encouraged. "Jen is noble and trustworthy. We must hurry."
"Very well, though I protest, Jen, you're not extending the trust to me which is due. Shalane, I kneel before you as I did that day when I received the branding and beg you to forgive me. I failed the night I did not support Jen in defence of your honour. I did not know Shatan's character then. I wanted to obey the Blessed One as I had been taught. Please, I see I was wrong."
"Dacen," the Shalane returned tenderly, "I understand why you acted as you did. Do not fret. I do not hold you in lower regard for those choices. You have your honour."
"But I cannot proceed like this," he pled. "I only wish to return to your service. Every hour I am with him, I could do nothing but think of you and the way it was before that night. Will you not speak to him and ask him to release me? He refused my request. Will you not also beg the First Mother to return me to the Protectorship? I have learned from my mistakes. It was my place to defend you from the demon, a place I lost because of my stupidity. Help me get it back."
"I will speak to Shatan," the Shalane said, "but argument with my mother will prove fruitless. I will try to convince her to let you back into service with the Dark Guard, should Shatan release you. It is the best I can offer."
Dacen groaned and stood. "I have brought shame on my family and upon myself," he said chidingly. "I thank you for your consideration, Holiness, and I await your answer. Should you ever need anything of me, do not hesitate to ask. You are ever in my heart, and I will not fail you again."
Dacen bowed and left, door closing quietly behind. "I have to get back," the Shalane said, voice troubled and hollow.
She stood to go, wringing her hands. Jen took her by the arm and stopped her before she could get to the door.
"You cannot go back in there in this state," he whispered. "Take a few moments to collect yourself. Shatan will question you when you return. He watched us intently as we left. If you can, you must appear as if nothing of consequence happened. If he gets a hint that you are upset, he may try to use Dacen to manipulate you."
The Shalane nodded, pacing about the room for several minutes before motioning for Jen to open the door for her. Jen took up his position in the alcove near the table as they entered the celebration. Shatan watched them enter, staring at the Shalane until she sat. As Jen expected, he bombarded her with questions. Mirel appeared anxious to talk with her as well. Dacen was nowhere to be seen. Jen cursed him for laying his burden on the Shalane on such a difficult night for her. While he couldn't hear the answers she gave to Shatan, he was proud that she seemed relaxed and calm. Fenna, approaching with her parents, forced him to clear his mind. He had to put aside his concern for the Shalane for a moment to seek his own happiness, even as hers faded.